Praise the Lord. I told Alyssa last week that I mentioned to everybody that she was committed to Star Trek. She wasn't very happy about that. Is she here? Is she here? She's back there somewhere. Because the last few weeks we've studied about this. Number one, this has kind of been our summer, what we've been studying, is no matter what, don't let go of the treasure that you found in Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, that's, and I'm excited because I see that in your hearts. I see that nobody's perfect, but you're coming into this church and I'm not going to let go of this treasure. I'm going to trust him no matter what. And I see that passion in many of you, and that's exciting because once you get there and you surrender your life to God, then God does amazing things with you. And that's what we studied. And then we talked about what is faith. What is faith? You know, it's important to have faith. God's got this. Amen? That's the 21st century of faith. God's got this. That's how we define it. He's got it. I trust him. Sometimes we got to go through a trial or we got to go through something. There's consequences, right? Sometimes in life. But even as Joseph was in prison or Joseph was accused of things, whatever it was, he never lost his faith in his God. And then we saw what happened to Joseph. Greatness happened. And that's the same plan God has for you. And last week we talked about only one of the lepers came back. I want to be that one, and I know you want to be that one this morning. That you come back and say, thank you, God, for the little things. And I'm still thanking God that there was clouds all evening, that evening at the outreach. I'm still thanking God for that. Because it was nice and cool, and I loved it. And we did an outreach, and it was awesome because it was a beautiful evening, and we blessed people. And in each sermon, I've been emphasizing this one thought. This summer, it is time to set things right before the Lord. And no matter what, I just feel I'm going to have to repeat this. We need to set things right before the Lord. See, it is true that nobody's perfect. But we're not supposed to use that as an excuse to keep doing imperfect things. Amen? It is true, you know, you ever heard that, oh, leave me alone, nobody's perfect. That's not what God's talking about. For none is righteous, this is true. But God wants us to be empowered by the Spirit of God so that you overcome sin in the world. That's the plan. And that's the journey that we're on. So though none of us is perfect, we can set things right before the Lord. There are certain things you can control and you can set it right within your own willpower. You can go. There's things in your home today that as God begins to move in you and you start having a passion to get it right before God, then there are things in your home today that you could go and I need to get rid of this. I need to get rid of that. I need to get rid of that movie. I mean, I don't need to watch that anymore. That was whatever. There are things you could do today and go home and set things right. And you have the willpower to do it and you can do it. And we need to do that as Christians. And there are things that you're struggling with that don't line up with God's word that you need to ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to overcome. Amen? The only question is, are you determined to overcome, to be perfected? And that's what we need to do this summer. We need to set things right. For the things we can control, we need to do it. For the things that we need to be empowered, we need to be in our closets, in our prayer closets, and we need to be asking God to overtake us and empower us. That's the kind, that's people of substance. That's what God's looking for. And I believe as you continue to grow in the Lord, he'll continue to perfect you, and you become more and more like him, which in turn will mean that when you speak, there'll be power behind your words. Because it won't be your words. See, when you begin to set things right before the Lord, there's power. The things that you cannot see begin to change in the spirit because that's God's word and it's the truth. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. That's truth. it truth. Set things right this summer. I have no doubt that God will intervene for every one of us. It's too late to convince me. I'm sure to convince us in this room that God is not in control. He sure is in control. Amen? And we're going to keep Jesus close this year. And we're going to set things right this summer. Because on the other side of that, eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things that God has planned for His people. Amen? Set things right. Set things right. Don't be satisfied with ordinary. There's nothing worse than being a lukewarm Christian. How do I know? Because I tried it. There's nothing worse than being half in and half out, saying that you believe in God and His power and not setting it right in your life and being, it's just, as God says, I'll spit you out of my mouth. It's lukewarmness. Set things right this summer. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. This is one of my favorite scriptures because it represents something that I want to talk about to you today. And also in my life, it spoke a lot. The title of this sermon is Substance Over Style. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just give you honor and praise that this morning you've already done a work, Lord. People have already responded saying, Lord, we're sorry and we're going to come back to the heart of worship. Come back to you, Lord. And we thank you for that because that's real. That's people responding to you, your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we want to continue on that, to continue to grow and be people of substance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, and Paul says this, and I, brethren, when I came to you to evangelize and I came to preach to you, I didn't come with excellency of speech. I didn't come with the most fanciest sermon. I didn't come with all this wisdom of, oh, this and that. He says, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I didn't come with a fancy speech, he says. For I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, what Paul was saying here is I didn't come trying to convince you of something, making it look pretty. I didn't come trying to entice you with some kind of fancy words. I only came for one reason and one reason only is to share with you that Jesus Christ died for your sins and in Him there's life and life eternal. You know, sometimes we just need to stop and go back to the simple things of our relationship with God. Amen? He died for me so I can have eternal life. What else do I need? You know, when you're in God's presence, that becomes more and more real. Living that becomes more and more real when we're in God's presence. All we really need is you, Lord. I'm at peace here. I have victory in your presence. And that's what Paul said. I didn't come to do anything fancy just to preach you Jesus. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. So Paul was saying, I was stressed. I was worried. I was weak. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So Paul was saying, I didn't want you to be impressed with man. I wanted you above all to be impressed with His power. With His power. You know that each and every one of you in this place this morning are powerful instruments God's passionately waiting to use for amazing things. You know, the simple words to a coworker, to a friend, to a relative, God loves you when they're going through something and I'll pray for you. When those words are said with someone of substance, with someone who's setting things right before God, they're just not words. Amen? They're power. It's power. And that's what Paul was demonstrating here. You know, Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists in the 20th century, he preached a simple sermon. And he preached it over and over and over. And he basically said, we are all lost, and in need of a Savior to keep us from eternal hell. And the Savior's name is Jesus Christ. And he would tell the people, repent and come to him. This simple message filled stadiums across the world. Why? Because Billy Graham was a person of substance. He was real. I hear stories about he would go on an elevator in a hotel, and if there was a lady with him, and it was just him and a lady, he would get off, or he would not, or make sure he always had his people with him. Because, not because he didn't trust himself, but because he didn't want there to be a perception that Billy Graham went up in an elevator with a woman. Because it was more important to him that he didn't give the enemy an opportunity to tarnish the name of Jesus. That was important to him. And he made those kind of decisions. Think about that in your life. Sometimes we shouldn't be in certain places because it doesn't look right if we're going to be standing for the name of Jesus. Amen? You see, being a person of substance, it takes an intentional effort. And Billy Graham did that. And Billy Graham had plenty of style. I'm sure they organized those stadium things, plenty of style. But Billy Graham, more importantly, thought of substance more important. And that's what Paul is basically saying here. Basically what Paul is saying here is what Billy Graham actually did in his evangelistic ministry. I'm not coming with fancy words. Billy Graham said, repent and come to Jesus. And they all flooded the stadium and come to the front. What is substance? Well, according to the dictionary, it says a real physical matter, substance, of which a person or thing consists of, which has a tangible, solid presence. See, Paul was recognized the importance of substance over style. He said in verse 1 and 2, I did not come with some great speech. I just came to keep it simple and point you to Jesus. When a person of substance proclaims the name of Jesus in the spirit realm, things happen. There's power in the name of Jesus. So what I believe that God's doing to each and every one of us is he's preparing us to be those people of substance that he uses to show his power to the world, his glory to the world. In the Old Testament, turn to Ezra chapter 3. Now, Ezra, you have permission to go to the table of contents on this one. Ezra is not a scripture we normally find, but it's in the Old Testament, somewhere after Chronicles. Ezra chapter 3, verse 8. Praise the Lord. Ezra chapter 3, verse 8. Here's some background as you get to that scripture. The first glorious temple that Solomon built, King David, Solomon, they built, was destroyed because of sin and disobedience, because of lack of substance. Basically, they had more style than substance. And now it came time to build the foundation of the second temple. So we pick up the story here. Ezra chapter 3, verse 8. Now, in the second year of their coming into the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all that were come up the captivity unto Jerusalem. And they appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forth the work for the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren Kadmiel and his sons and the sons of Judah together to set forward the work, men in the house of God, the sons of Henadad, with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests and their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord, after the ordinance of the David king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was finally laid. But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers that were ancient men, that means old, that had seen the first house, when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that people who they could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout of noise that was heard afar off. Isn't this interesting? As they laid the foundation of the temple, an amazing thing happened. Some people were cheering and praising, and other people who had seen the first temple were weeping of sadness. The group that was sad because the second temple was not nearly as magnificent as the first temple. It's like when you live in a mansion and then you have to move to, like, you know, my house or your house. Right? They had this beautiful temple, Solomon's temple. I mean, everybody talked about it in the whole world. This was like an amazing feat. Gold, and it was just an amazing temple. And it was destroyed because they lacked substance. And then it was time to lay a foundation for a second temple. In Haggai chapter 2, the story is a little mixed throughout the books, but it all comes together here. Go to Haggai chapter 2, verse 1. And Haggai is after Daniel and Hosea, Amos, right around there towards the end of the Old Testament. In Haggai chapter 2, the story continues here, the glory of the new temple. In the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord and the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of the Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? So here we have, who is left here that saw the first temple in its first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as if it is nothing? Wow. Look at the first temple and look at the second temple. Those of you that saw the first temple, doesn't this look like nothing? Yet, be strong. So the ones that were weeping and sad, be strong is the word they're getting. Saith the Lord, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted. And when he came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Wow. Are you hearing this? As I tell the worship team and Michelle over and over, it doesn't matter how great the instruments are, how great the singing is. If the worship from the church and the congregation is from substance, God will move. You know, worship, their style, and their substance. It doesn't mean we shouldn't prepare and style it as much as we can, but at the end of the day, when God begins to move, it's about God. But the responsibility of worship is heavy on a worship leader and the team, but every single one of us singing along, if we're singing from a place of substance and worshiping from a place of substance, I can guarantee you that God will surely move. And His glory will fill the temple. Amen? So that day when you come to church and you're like, well, worship wasn't as great as it used to be, you need to go back in the closet, say, Lord, help me to worship in spirit and truth so that people can get impacted for Your kingdom. Amen? And God says here in Haggai, don't worry. When I show up in all My glory, the style or this temple size won't even matter. This is also true for pastors. The greatest sermon, greatest style, the greatest delivery, none of that really matters if there's no substance and glory of God. Amen? And it's true for your life and my life. Us telling people God loves them or trying to tell people that, you know, come to God and all of that is meaningless if your life doesn't line up with the glory of God. Because there's power in substance. In verse 7, God said this, I will fill this house with My glory. End of story. Let's read it again. And I will shake all the nations, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. And verse 9, and the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. All we need is for God to show up in all levels. In your personal life, you need God to show up. In the family, you need God there. Put Him first. In the church, we just need God to show up. It's not about agendas. It's not about this way style. God, show up, please. If we all beg God to continue to show up in our lives, in our church, in our family, in our neighborhood, in our community, then the glory of God will change and transform everything. Amen? All we really need is for God to show up and be able to be and be people of substance, people that are real, intentionally setting things right before the Lord. When this occurs, power, the power of God changes lives. So worship team to come up and we're going to close. Turn to Zechariah 40, verse 4, verse 9 and 10. Zechariah, just a little bit to the right of Haggai. Zechariah 4, 9 and 10. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. So this foundation has been laid, and the house will be finished, the temple. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and they shall see plummet in the land. Their eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Don't despise small things. So in your life, you leave here today, if you wrote something down today, substance over style. Paul said it. I'm not coming with fancy words. I'm coming to show substance. Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. He rose from the grave so that you can have life eternal. That substance. It's time for the church. We don't despise small things. The church size doesn't matter. The building doesn't matter. It was a second temple built. And God's glory did come into that temple. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ walked into that temple. And His glory was greater than the prior. It came to pass. Oh, there was still phoniness in the temple. There was still style in the temple. But when Jesus walked in, it was more glorious. He fulfilled the law. And the second temple was destroyed. But there's a third temple. And the Holy Spirit resides in this temple. For the Word of God says in the New Testament, you are a temple. Wow. It went from the first glorious temple to the second temple to now you are the temple. Wow. You and I now are the temple. In other words, when we are people of substance and we're in our temple, we give it to God, then His glory fills the temple. And when you speak, it impacts lives. Now you're the temple. You and I. Isn't that amazing? We're not worthy. But when you set things right, when you begin to say, this is most important in my life, then everything changes. The glory will fill the temple. You, people of substance. My heart's desire is that in all that we do as a church and as a body, as families, as individuals, is that God continue to show up and fill His glory and fill the temple with His glory. When we surrender all our will to His will, then that opens the door for God to use us as an instrument to change lives. I don't want us to just understand the concept of substance over style, but I would like for us to live the concept, because in that is a glorious life. Paul understood that one more fancy sermon wasn't what the Corinthians needed. One more fancy sermon won't do it. One more sermon or one more talk. But he understood that what we need is for God to show up in His power. We don't need fancy words or fancy temples. We just need God's power to show up. And God freely demonstrates His power through people of substance. God is looking to and fro, looking for people of substance. So this morning, my challenge to you as we get ready to sing a song together is, are you determined to set things right, to be that temple of power? If you are, I'm going to ask you to stand as a congregation. In a few minutes, when I count to three, we'll stand together. But this is what we're standing for. I hear you, Lord. I am a temple. And I want to be a person of substance. And I want your glory to fill the temple. And I'm going to set things right before the Lord. So on the count of three, just stand. One, two, three.